Tonight, our main speaker is Jessica M. Please help me give her a warm welcome.
Thank you, Pat. My name is Jessica, and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Jessica.
And I want to thank everyone for being here. Those of you that are new and those of you with some time, you know, you're all part of my recovery, and I really appreciate it. Not only am I speaking tonight, but I'm also feeling extremely grateful because I just celebrated my 5th year birthday. And it always hits me the day after. The day that I have a birthday, I'm like, okay, whoopee, it's my birthday. But it always hits me the day after when I begin to reflect on really what it means to have another year under my belt. And truly, as I expressed when I got my chip, this was a year of quite a bit of mess, quite a bit of bad decisions and sobriety. And by the grace of God, I managed to stay clean, and I managed to get myself back on track, and here I am speaking. But my birthday is March 4th, 2011, and I came in through the other fellowship because I was hiding from a father who's been in this program for over 20 years. And the problem with me coming back this time after a relapse was that I had a dad who had came in when I was 20 years old, and I came in with him. And the problem was is that he stayed sober and I did not. And it was really, truly, there was a lot of shame and guilt with having to walk back into these rooms. And to be honest, I didn't want to look him in the face, and I didn't want to tell him that he was right, and I didn't want to admit that his way was the way that worked and that my way had not. I always say, you know, I'm the perfect example of a bad example of what happens when you try to do this deal of sobriety on your own. Because I came into the program, my dad had about a year and a half, and I came into the program, and I got a sponsor because that's what they said for me to do, and I worked steps 1, 2, and 3, and I got in touch with a God of my understanding, and the way that it worked for me was that I had went to church, and my higher power, I had chosen to call Jesus Christ. And one time I used the JC word in a meeting, and this was in the Five Cities group, and any of you know the Five Cities group, they're pretty hardcore, and so I was reamed for using the word Jesus Christ in a meeting. And to be honest, that's where I picked up my first resentment too, because I had decided if I don't fit in there, maybe I'm not meant to be there. And that's the way I felt at the time. And so I started going to church, and there I fit in because there they had the same God that I had. And so I continued to go to church, and that's the route that I went. And it kept me sober for a very long time. I had about 16 years of sobriety, and I use the term abstinence now because now I know with being an alcoholic, there's an ism to it, the I, self, and me. And even though I didn't have the alcohol during that time, I was still left with me. And so I went many, many years living a very miserable, miserable, sober life. Now, it had its good moments. Don't get me wrong. It had its good moments because I had a very wonderful husband and I had a very loving family. But I do, as I look back on things now, I can see things in hindsight, and I can see where I went wrong, and I can see where that selfish, self-centered Jessica was just always in the dominant realm. She was just always up in the forefront of everything. So I'll back up just a little bit just to say, I'm from this area. I'm from Five Cities area. I've grown up here all my life. I have five brothers and sisters, five sisters, one brother, so I have six total. But I am the only child for my mom and dad. And so it was a very early point in my life. I was about 1 year old when my mom and dad got a divorce. And I had been shipped off to Texas to live with my mom. And so, like I explained, it was not really hard for me to discover what resentments were. I can remember as far back as 8 years old, so I can remember being very resentful with a father that I didn't know. And it's very difficult when you resent somebody, but you love them very, very much, and you want them in your life, but they're not there. And so I learned really early on how to have a resentment towards my parent. And then living with my mom, both parents were both drug addicts and alcoholics. Both of them were addicted to heroin, and they were both heavy drinkers. And I can remember as a child, I always looked at my mother, and she was one of those kind of drunks that got really slushy and belligerent. And, you know, my friends became her friends, and, you know, it was always okay for my friends to be drinking with her. It was just not okay for me to be drinking with her. So she just wanted to be the cool mom, you know, and I couldn't stand it. I really couldn't stand it. I loved my mom with all my heart, but I absolutely despised her growing up. So I discovered a new resentment when I lived with my mom. And so I was always the type, when I lived with my mom, I wanted to go with my dad. And when I lived with my dad, I wanted to go with my mom. And that's the way that it worked for me. I wasn't happy. I was not a happy child. And I moved back to California with my dad because my mom had gotten to the point where she was leaving me with strangers, and I was staying with men, and I had reported that I had been violated by one of her boyfriends at about 9 years old. And so I went to go live with an aunt because of that situation, and my dad had decided that I wasn't going to live with a family member. I was going to live with him. So he went to Texas to pick me up. And I have to admit, at that time, boy, he was my knight in shining armor. You know, I hadn't had him in my life. Here was a chance to have him in my life. And we moved back to California. And I really related with Jessica when she was talking about being a drinker at such a young age. Because at 9 years old, I didn't discover alcohol first. I discovered marijuana first. So I was the type of kid that was 9 years old in a tree getting stoned with her friends. And to be honest, it worked at that time because that's when I first discovered how to get out of self. That first hit of marijuana taught me how to not have to be present at home and to be able to be present with my friends or in a fantasy world of my making. And so that's what I did. And I smoked pot under the table behind my parents' back until I was about 12 years old when I hit junior high. And lo and behold, when I hit junior high, I went to a ditching party, and that's when I discovered alcohol. And, you know, when they talk about having that first drink, the same way that I felt when I smoked pot for the first time, it doubled when I drank alcohol for the first time. Because that ooze, I don't know, it allowed me to be whoever I wanted to be in that moment. It allowed me to escape home life. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to be that little girl that was getting violated. I didn't want to be that little girl that was bitter and angry. And I just wanted something else. I always had this fantasy of what life was supposed to be like. And I share in here all the time about coming into the fellowship and wanting to just quit using drugs, but I wanted to continue drinking because in my head I still had that fantasy when I first came in that I would learn how to drink like a lady. That's my slogan all the time, is I came in here to learn how to drink like a lady so I could go back out there and continue to do what I was doing. And that's what it was for me. I made myself miserable drinking alcohol. At first it was fun. I partied with my friends. I got to be who I wanted to be. I got to escape who I didn't want to be. And that worked for a very long time. With drinking came a lifestyle that I was used to. I'd been there with my mom. I'd been there with my dad. And so that lifestyle had already been accustomed to. So drinking and drugging and and partying was what I did. And like Jessica said, you know, alcohol has always been my drug of choice. I have other substances that I've dealt with that brought me in through the other fellowship, but I have discovered on my journey that alcohol has always been my drug of choice. It just never stops there. For me, when the alcohol stops working, I try to find something else, and that's the way that it goes for me. But about 14 years old, I discovered cocaine. I had run away, and I discovered cocaine. So can you imagine this little eighth grader out on the streets of Santa Maria? She'd run away from home, and I didn't have money. I couldn't even work because I was too young to work. Dating and just going with men, different men all the time. And I look back and think about that, about how I must have felt, how bad I must have really felt to think that that was better than being at home. To me, that seemed like an easier, softer way than to have to sit at home with two parents that weren't being parents. And you know, I'm really grateful to Alcoholics Anonymous because I have learned how to get past those first two resentments really quick. So when I was 15 years old, I was out of control. I'd been in and out of juvenile hall. I had joined a gang there in Oceano. I didn't have to be jumped in because I was grafted in by all my family members that were already involved and because of who my father was. And so, you know, I was a floozy Lucy that was resentful. How do you figure that? I was a floozy Lucy that hated men. And truly, in those years of my life, I had watched my father abuse women. I had watched my father cheat on his wife. I'd watched my mother behave in ways that no daughter should have to watch her mother behave. And so I had learned really early on how to look for love in all the wrong places. And so that was the pattern. That was the pattern for me in those early years. I was in a motel one night, and I was in a motel one night, and in walked this gorgeous-looking man. Who at that time was only a drinker. And he wanted to get to know me, the real me. I didn't know what the hell that meant. All my life I had watched men take from women. And so I had become the type of person that told herself that she would never let that happen to her. And so what I had began to do is I became just like those men out there. I used men, and I dumped them, and I hurt them, and I'd never really established a relationship. I didn't know how to be faithful to one man, that's for sure. I didn't know what faithfulness meant, loyalty, none of those words. None of those words did I know. And in walks this man that I remember. They say that there's not love at first sight. For me, it was love at first sight. And he wanted to get to know who I was. He didn't want anything more than to get to know Jessica. And so it was real difficult because I did things to harm this newfound relationship that I had begun to establish with him. You know, cheated on him, pushed him away. Instead of him being the abuser, I was the abuser. I'd get drunk, pick a fight, and always just behave the way no man should ever want from a woman. And to be honest, After about 2 months, I had gotten pregnant, and this man asked me to marry him. And right there on the spot, I felt like a breath of fresh air, because I felt that that was another way for me to escape. And he only drank. He drank, and he didn't drink like an alcoholic. He didn't drink like I did. But of course, like a very good wife that I was, I taught him how to drink and overdrink and use drugs. And lo and behold, I found a partner in crime. And that's what we began to do together. And the first 3 years of our relationship was a mess. I'd been through abusing him, him abusing me, lies, cheating. And I remember living here in Santa Maria, and I met Jessica at that time. But my husband and I had decided to, we'd had a baby, and I wanted to party. Go figure, the best thing in my life, and I wanted to throw it away, because partying meant more than having that family. And to be honest, all my life, all I wanted was that family. And so it's really confusing to a 17-year-old girl. I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time keeping it straight, because the truth of the matter is that my husband has passed away, and I no longer have him with me. And I haven't had to share my story in a very long time. But we went through years of wreckage with alcohol and drugs, and we were on the verge of the divorce, and I was living here in Santa Maria. My dad had came into the program at that time, and I remember him coming to my house, and every time he'd see me, the only thing he'd say is, "Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired?" And I wouldn't say anything. And one day, I woke up after a fist fight and scraped up knees and black eyes and a missing high chair from my house, I realized that the world that I was living was falling apart slowly but surely. My husband and I had been separated, and so I heard my dad's voice that said, "Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired?" And so I called him up on the phone and I said, "Dad, I'm done." And that was the first time that I had been introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous at about 20 years old. I moved back to Grover Beach, and you know, the Lord is so faithful, because my husband and I reconciled, and I had quit drinking for a good long while, and we started going to church. And I was living that life that everyone from the outside would say is a good life. I had stopped drinking. I had developed a relationship with God. My husband and I had gotten past the adultery, had gotten past the abuse, and things seemed to be going good. And I started going to church with him. And like I said, for a long, long time, for 16 years, I served God. For 16 years, I told my story of how God had taken me out of drugs and alcohol and set my feet on a foundation to where now I had the happiness of a husband and family and the freedom inside of having a God who forgave me. And and you know, they say that this disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful. And I add the word patient, because it took me a long, long time to relapse. But when I did, it was just like they said for me. I picked up right where I left off. I'm so sorry. I began cheating on my husband. I fell away from church.
And, you know, it started out slowly because we had made a commitment to just drink on New Year's. And we drank on New Year's. And then after the next year when we drank on New Year's, then we said just on special occasions. And so just like the reading where it talks about trying different ways in which to drink, you know, here we were. Okay, now it's weekends. And pretty soon we had alcohol back in our home. And, you know, before I came in here, I was asking myself, how the hell did this happen? How the hell did I go from a church-going, fully functioning family to being back in the ghetto, being back to being the unfaithful wife, being back to being around people that I normally wouldn't be around? I just didn't understand how that could happen. But in the midst of when I was cheating on my husband, we had other problems. He'd lost his job. And so this relapse seemed to be getting worse and worse. Things were going downhill real quick. No job, lost a home, being unfaithful again. Everything that we had escaped was all back on the table again. And I got a text one night when I was out with my boyfriend, my newfound boyfriend. And I got a text from my husband that said, come home, help me, I love you. And the last text was, you're going to have to live with this. And I went home, and he'd said these things many times. But I went home, and I went to open the door, and the door was locked, and so I went to lift up the garage door, and when I looked, I saw my husband with a noose around his head, and he had hung himself. And I grabbed him, and I lifted him up, and I screamed bloody murder. And I tried to do CPR on him, and the ambulance came. And he was pronounced dead on the spot. And a woman, after having a marriage of 20 years with this man, he was my best friend. He was my everything. I couldn't even imagine life without him. No matter what we had gone through, I could not imagine life without him. And here I was with 4 children left to face this life without him. And to be honest, it was too much for me. I went out and I drank and I drank and I drank, and I left my 4 beautiful babies to fend for themselves in the most detrimental time ever. Because to be honest, the pain that I was feeling was more than I could even... I hurt so much that the love I had for my children wasn't enough to stop me from trying to stop from feeling. And so I began to use drugs really hardcore. And before you knew it, I was in an apartment complex with a eviction notice. And I was spun out so bad on drugs that I had my uncle tearing apart my car because I thought somebody was trying to frame me. And bless his heart, some of you may know him, Vincent, he's in the program. He had been coming for a couple of months already, and he had stayed clean. And he looked at me, and he cleaned out my car, he emptied the seats, all those crazy things that drug addicts do, you know. Emptied out everything, and he looked at me. He goes, okay, are you content? And I said, okay, yes. And he looked at me. He said, now will you do something for me? And I looked at him. I said, of course. And he said, will you please go with me to a meeting? And I knew that by this point, I was tearing my children apart. I knew I was losing my mind. And I knew that if I didn't do something, my life was going to be over and my children were going to be without another parent. So I went to my first meeting with them. And I was sharing with Matt earlier. My ego was so big that the only thing I could think about is I'll go to those meetings, but I'm not going to see my dad. So I'd send him into a meeting, go see if George is in there. If he's in there, I wouldn't go. If he wasn't there, I'd go. And that's the way I ran for about 2 months. I ran that way. Because I didn't want to see my dad. I didn't want to hear that I told you so's. I had so much shame and so much guilt from the relapse that it was hard enough just coming and sitting in these seats. It was hard enough just to face the people that were in here when I came in the first time. But I continued to come. And you know, I got a sponsor. And there's a passage in here that I want to read before I talk about my recovery. This was a story that I related to really early on in my recovery, and the name is so funny, but it's so fitting. This is a piece of my bottle. It's one of the stories at the end, My Resentments and Me. And like I had shared with you, I lived my life a resentful little witch and blaming the world for everything that had gone wrong. And to be honest, there was a lot of wrong. Being violated as a kid, being abandoned by your parents, having drug addicts, having your mother do the things that she did. You know, by the time I was 15 years old, I had a lot to bitch about. But I had no clue that there was a way to live free from those feelings as an adult, because I carried them for so long. And so when I read this passage, it really hit home. But there's three sections in here. They're small passages. It says, at school, the gossip was vicious. At home, there was chaos, and no one would tell me what was happening. So I withdrew and began to black out the reality that surrounded me. And see, that's the story of a teenager, an alcoholic teenager, is I was trying so hard to black out the reality of what had gone on in my life, that alcohol seemed like the way to do that. It made me not have to think about my home life for just a little bit. And then, you know, at 16 years old, when I met my knight in shining armor, there was another passage that I related to. It said, through some friends, I met a woman I really cared for, and we soon got married. A year later, our daughter was born, and eventually two boys. Oh, how I loved my brood. The nice little family should have settled me down, but instead, my drinking progressed. And that's exactly what happened to me in my marriage, is my marriage meant the world to me. My marriage was my salvation as a child that took me out of that terrible life I had lived. And it was with a good man, but as an alcoholic, I destroyed that. I destroyed him. I took a man who drank occasionally, and I turned him into something he was not. I harbored those resentments towards men so badly that I treated men badly. And that included him. And then it says here, so once again, on my relapse, so once again, I set off and I left with my hatred, my resentment, and the clothes on my back. And really, that's what I did. I came back into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I knew that what I had done the first time was not the way that I was supposed to work this program. I knew that finding the sponsor and finding the higher power and deciding to do it on my own was not the way to go. I knew that had failed me.
life showed me that had failed me. I showed myself that that had failed me. And I started to work those steps. I got in touch with my higher power again. And I'll tell you, as a woman of faith, to have fallen down the scale again, I had such a big resentment towards God because I thought, how in the hell does somebody serve you? How does somebody live for you? And then end up here again. And so I told my dad, you know, I'm going to be able to work those steps 1 and 2 just fine, but on 3, I had no trust in God. I'd lost every inch of trust that I had in Him when my life fell apart this last time. And he told me, if all you can do is go home and say, God, help me to be willing to talk to you again, then that's what you say, and let that be your prayer. And I could do that. I could do that. And I remember when I did that for the first time, that's all it took. Because see, the loving God that I have today, as soon as I said those words, I felt Him encompass me again. I felt that relationship build all over again. And I didn't have to stay stuck, which is what I thought I was going to do. And I began to take that journey with the steps in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'll tell you, the thing that I've clung to the most, because as far as I'm concerned, I had a God of my understanding. I had a loving God of my understanding. I just lost my way. Was coming in here and working those middle steps like you were talking about. Having to write down and having to look at me. That was the challenge for Jessica. I wanted to tell you and list all those resentments because I wanted to tell you how bad it was so you'd understand why I was such a mess. And when I had to find my part, holy moly, talk about a light bulb moment. The healing that came from that. I hated my father. I hated my father for all my life until I came into Alcoholics Anonymous and worked those steps. He was the first one on my resentment list. He was the first one I made amends to. And because of Alcoholics Anonymous, I have a wonderful, wonderful relationship with him today. Such a blessing. In recovery, I've learned what time do I have till?
Whenever you'd like to end.
Is it 8 o'clock?
Something like that.
Oh, forgive me. I thought it was 8:30 or 8:15. But you know, with the horrible life that I talked about, you know, you would think that you would come in here and it'd be very difficult to have to walk through this, to walk through all these steps and look at yourself and come to meetings and share your feelings and do all of that. And I told you, I only wanted to learn how to drink. I didn't want to quit drinking. And it really did take a DUI to open up my eyes. But because of Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm a mother today to those children that I left abandoned. I'm a daughter today to a father and a mother who I know today did their best, the best that they could with where they were at in their disease. And I wouldn't have discovered that if I didn't learn about it myself. And I get to be a friend, and I get to give back, and I get to work with women, and I get to do the things in my life that I never thought I would do. I get to play sports. I get to hike. I get to share. I get to cry. I get to feel. I get to laugh. And I didn't think I was going to laugh again. But I get to laugh today. And today I get to celebrate my 5th birthday. If you're new, I welcome you to Alcoholics Anonymous. There's healing in here. All those things that you've carried for years, but there's healing in here. If you want it. So, that's it.
Thank you, Jessica. Let's thank Jessica. Jessica Gaines.